Ready.
Board members, are you ready? Okay. I will call to order the regular scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting on this Tuesday, February 14th, 2012, and would like to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day, etc. Please join the Board as we honor our nation with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, the next item is the consideration of the minutes of 2712.
Move approval.
Second.
And moved and second. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Minutes are approved. Next item is a public comment period. This is where members of the audience may address the Board on a topic on today's agenda. Is there anyone that would like to address the Board regarding a topic on today's agenda? Okay, seeing no one, then we'll move on down the agenda. There's no public hearing items. And the first item of discussion is to review and discuss options from Halla Architect for space needs to the upper floor of the Human Service Center, 126 South Kellogg, Ames, Iowa. Same stag, Art Mumgartner, and Facilities Director Al Hahn. Come on down.
Morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
We're here to. Sam and Art have been working on some more options.
Pull it a little closer, please.
Hear me now?
Yeah, that's a little better.
Sam and Art have been working on some more options for space needs over at Human Service Center. I'm just going to turn it over to them and kind of let them explain how they went about their design.
All right, cool, thanks.
Stranger's off.
Okay, there we go. All right, good morning. Thank you, Al. Well, thanks for taking the time for us this morning and kind of present some of the things that we've been working on. And Al, as Al has alluded to, we've been charged with thinking through some the space planning of the Human Services Building, particularly the second floor. And this is kind of on the heels of a project that's currently under construction, as we're all aware of the community services facilities that were once located upstairs, I guess currently are in the process of being constructed, and then will be moved downstairs in just a couple months. So with that said, some of the this current plan that you see up right now, this is the current layout of space on the west side. This is the current community services space. In the middle, we have juvenile services, and then on the east end, we have some county attorney offices. Our efforts have been primarily centered around moving, since the community services is moving downstairs into the ground level, the question posed is, how can we pull more county attorney office space over from the Justice Center from here in Nevada, and then also, but primarily leaving the juvenile services space alone. It's working as is, and things they really don't need any renovation or additional space. And then also trying to think through how we can fit Veterans Affairs offices as well into some of this space, as well as incorporating some float or future office area in here. So those are some of the ideas that are the programmatic needs that that we've been discussing with Al and his staff. And so some of the desired programmatic elements is to bring as many people from the Justice Center for the county attorney as possible. Regarding veteran affairs, right now they have a lobby, some clerk space, private offices, conference room that seats 6 to 7 people, and then there's a desire to be close to the main lobby. Those things have been expressed, and then float offices, possibly 2 to 3 float offices. The overarching goals is to kind of fulfill the current and future space needs of both county attorney, veteran affairs, and then possibly the future office as well. And then the space should utilize existing spaces to minimize renovation costs as much as possible. So we're thinking in terms of saving money for the county. And then, of course, the space plan should be efficiently designed to allow for the phasing of staff. You know, what I mean by that is as construction is going on or as spaces move around, how can the staff be best, kept operational to maintain efficiency? So those are some of the goals and ideas that we've been working with. This option one is a slight. Let's see here. Let me start over. There's a listing of a legend here. It's kind of hard to see on the screen. It's a little small. There's a legend on the left that walks you through what each letter means. And P is private office. O is for open office. And W, waiting room. So on and so forth. There's also some hard copies floating around as well. I'm just going to kind of walk through the different color-coded areas and provide some insight into the things that we were working on. Veterans Affairs is in the blue color right here. We were able to that where we have a shared waiting room. We have a shared secretary and clerk area with county attorney, and then they have two private offices immediately adjacent to the front lobby area. The next space, like I said, juvenile services, we really didn't touch that at all. And like I said, it's working well as is. County attorney, this particular layout allows for 13 additional staff, both utilizing the area that they're currently in and then pulling, 13 additional staff, actually allowing for 20 total county attorney staff members in this particular layout. Float offices, we're able to have three staff members in over here, one private office, two private offices and one open office, and then some copy, secretary, and work area right there. Some of the pros of this scheme is the Veterans Affairs is close to the main lobby, and so wayfinding is relatively simple for that high traffic need. Let's see here. Once again, we didn't touch juvenile services. Some pros for the county attorney. We were able to fit 13 additional staff in here. The entry from the main lobby has been introduced. There's also lots of natural daylight, both on the north sides right here, and then on the south as well. And then the float office, we're able to have some float offices that, if those aren't necessarily utilized as efficiently as we'd hope, the county attorney can kind of bleed into some of those offices as well. Some of the cons of this particular layout for Veterans Affairs, some of the minimal natural daylight of office space, we have some coming from the south. And there's also shared support spaces, both for waiting and secretary with the county attorney. And so that might pose some problem, depending on how those are used. And then there was a request to have a conference room, not necessarily as their own space, but they will be sharing the common conference room on that second floor. At least that's the proposal for this particular plan. Some of the disadvantages moving over to the county attorney, once again, some more divided space. Right now we're proposing, or in looking at the current layout of those offices, it's depending on how those are utilized, some of the support spaces, it may not be necessary to achieve their programmatic need. And so we'd have to think through that. Let's see here. And right now they're shared support space for Veterans Affairs. the entry away from the main lobby for the east offices, there's basically a separation of some of the staff, and that may not be as conducive as for daily operations. And then possibly duplicating support and staffing. You know, if they're separated staff, they might have to have two secretaries or two receptionists and copy work areas, just depending on how those are set up. And then we really didn't see any cons for float area. It seems to work really well. Some general observations. This option requires minimal, if any, renovations to the current space. Once again, when our charge at this point is just to kind of think relatively broadly about some of the spatial arrangement. Once we land on a general option, we can go back in and look at specific spatial layout and arrangement, adjacencies, and adequate sizing of offices and spaces as well. But we don't anticipate a whole lot of renovation with this particular scheme. Another observation is that, you know, divided and shared programmatic spaces are a little bit awkward and less efficient use of space, and possibly a doubling up of staff might be necessary to accommodate this particular plan. However, the phasing of staff movement to new office spaces can begin as soon as phase one of the lower level renovation is complete. So the phasing seems to work relatively well as one of our goals. So that's option one, kind of a general overview of that one. The next option that we have, this is just option number two, relatively similar to the first option. Thinking through, once again, some of the individual spaces, we'll start with Veterans Affairs. Right now, this is primarily taking over the current or part of the current county attorney offices, and it's actually the current layout seems to work relatively well for those spatial needs. Once again, Juvenile Services did not get touched. For county attorney, we're able to pull 10 additional staff over from the Justice Center, now accommodating for 17 total staff in this particular layout. And then float spaces, similar to the previous one. Once again, if Veterans Affairs needs to grow and there's no need for some of this float space, there could be a natural segue and an expansion into that area. And thinking through some of the cons, the problem with putting Veterans Affairs over here is that it's kind of off the beaten path. And, you know, most of the people enter from the west side, and so there'd have to be some instruction for the folks visiting there to come on back here, which you know, we can discuss if that's a positive or not, but that was brought up as a negative component, and so possible wayfinding issues there. However, a lot of natural daylight on that north side. The current space layout seems to work really well, and then undivided program space where they'd have their own conference room and not have to share the large conference room. Not that they couldn't for larger meetings, but they would have their own separate area back there. Some of the pros for the county attorney space is that, once again, it's all kind of contained in one area, not divided space. So efficient use of people and staff is a positive with this particular layout. And then little to no renovation might be necessary depending upon, once again, specific spatial needs. The cons in the county attorney area, it's likely, once again, likely inadequate support space. That was one of the criticisms that the community services had, and in terms of size of conference room and waiting area and secretary area. With a growing program, they needed more space, and likely that would be the case for county attorney. So there would be some minor modification there, likely. Let's see here. Going over to float offices, once again, those really do provide a good layout with just the current division of space. Once again, I think this scheme right here, option two, probably requires even the least amount of renovation and work, and likely the county facilities and planning management staff could handle a lot of that renovation, depending upon, once again, specific spatial need. And then once again the division of space without having divided program and program area and possibly staff separation. That's another positive of this particular option. So I only have two schemes. So those are what we have here today. And just open it up for discussion and comment.
Couple thoughts, Sam. First of all, thank you for your continual work in this area. And Al, also, as you know, this is probably the third revision that I can recall. And frankly, I'm getting to a point that I'm losing a little patience in this process. I respect everybody's desire to have additional space. But I think that unless we can come up with a resolution that's going to be the least disruptive and be a working shared agreement, I'm not going to be so supportive of us making some of the major changes that is currently being proposed right now. As I've looked at this, I'm concerned about two areas, and I have tremendous respect for the county attorney and his needs in his office, but I'm also concerned about what happens to the space over in the Justice Center, that if that office area is not going to be shared and used by someone else, then I have a real concern if that is the most efficient way for us to proceed as a county, realizing there are space needs that need to be met by various entities. And then this plan does not address something that originally was thought out, and I would have to apologize to the county attorney, because originally we had not thought of having him move for additional space when we first put the plan together. But we did meet with DHS. We tried to look at their space needs. At the time, we were thinking of relocating human services to the basement. And we kind of laid out a proposal initially, but then that has also changed because, again, our first, in my opinion, responsibility is, first of all, is to address the needs of the county offices and departments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this compromise was to try to see if we could work out a good case scenario. Now, in my mind, I was all set for looking originally at the proposal here, providing that Veterans Affairs and County Attorney in option one could somehow work out a opportunity for that receptionist area or open office area. But if that is going to be problematic, it changes the whole dynamics. At one time, I was hoping that Veterans Affairs would have one of their personnel, Luke, for example, take that open area, which is currently the, which I would call the receptionist area, so that when people came into the office, there was a contact person, and then they could be diverted back to the director's office, etc. But in talking to that group, their desire was not to necessarily do that, but have back-to-back offices on the same corridor, which I can kind of basically understand. But it still doesn't address the central question of the receptionist area.
Mm-hmm.
How do we man that area and still be able to direct traffic, clients coming in,
mm-hmm.
to the appropriate offices? We can put all the signage up in the world, but still needs to be someone at the point of entry. When they open the door, that tells them that go here, go there, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a real concern that I currently have at this present time. And so right now, I'm still struggling with how often are we going to have to adjust what we currently have right now to come up with something that is going to meet the needs of all the players here. When I first looked at this, and Al, this is a question for you and Sam as well, we never even talked about what would have theoretically happened if we moved the juvenile court services forward into the current space that is proposed for the county attorney and Veterans Affairs, and then move the county attorney space back in that area, which would be very close to the current offices that he has right now. And I know that's, I only thought of it as I was looking at all the this morning as we were looking at that, thinking that a hallway entry could be off of that long hallway that would allow access there rather than going all the way back to the end of the building.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is I don't see how we as a board is going to come up with a plan that everybody's going to be happy with. And when the bottom, when it finally comes down to a decision, I'm going to make the decision that I think is going to accommodate the majority of the people with the least interruption, and that's where I'm leaning at this point in time. So I'm hoping that before the end of the day, there is some type of shared vision or shared goal that I can sink my teeth in, because one side of me, I'm not 100% for the county attorney that I support a total removing of your personnel over to the Ames. I could see some office space, but I'm not totally satisfied with supportive of moving 13 people over. So that's just kind of one of the dilemmas that I have as an individual. I could be swayed differently when I look at all of this, but hopefully we can address some of those things as we move forward. But I do think that as a board, we need to come up with a resolution as quickly as possible so that we can move this process forward rather than constantly go through some of the nuances or the challenges to meet the needs of all the different departments. So I've said my feel now, so I'm anxious to hear from not only the other board members, but the members in the audience. We did have a letter presented to us from Pat Penning from DHS, and I thought it was an appropriate letter because it does address the change that from what we had originally talked about, and yet I don't see that there were any space needs for DHS on the second floor. However, I also have another issue with the fact that that's not my primary concern when all of DH staff are not necessarily Story County people, that we have people sharing staff from other counties. So I do believe that when we have space available for any entity, it should be based upon space needs that are available, and if our departments begin to grow that we need space, then other counties need to fend for themselves, that it's not Story County's responsibility to make space for other counties. So that's where I'm coming from.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate the work you've put into this. Wayne, I appreciate your comments. I think you're right on the money on a lot of them. That said, I feel like that it's this board's responsibility to make the best decision we can and move on. And as I see it, we've got four options. One, two, we could do absolutely nothing over there, leave it the way it is and figure out that front space later on, or we could scrap everything and go back to the drawing board and look at doing everything again. I think, and I'd ask Al this, I think we looked at all available options of moving people around, back, forward, sideways, considered moving people out of the building, into the building, and you're 100% right. We're not going to please everybody, but you know what? That's not our job. Our job is to make the best decision we can. So I'm going to start with option one, and I'm going to tell you why, for me, there's a lot I like about option one, but it is unworkable as it's currently drawn, because we absolutely cannot share secretarial copy room between two departments. We don't need to have the same. I'm not opposed to the same waiting room, but we don't need to have the same access point. We don't need to have a situation where veterans and those who are visiting our county attorney are going to the same window and dealing with the same person. So for me, that one's unworkable with the shared spaces in the secretarial and the copy area. Potential solution to that, as I see it, and one that I would like to have seen drawn up, was the possibility of putting a window in, and I'm sorry I'm going to do it this way, but I've got to refer to it based on who has occupied the offices. Put a window in Deb Shildroth's office facing the waiting room, so mm-hmm. up higher than that, mm-hmm. right there.
Mm-hmm.
So you got a shared waiting room, but that would be the Veterans Affairs window, mm-hmm. and then put a secure door 10 feet down the hallway right there. Al, if you'll just move a little to your right. No, secure
down.
No, up right there. Yeah, secure door further down. So that becomes open space from the waiting room to the two Veterans Affairs offices, and there's a secure door to go back into the county attorney's area, and the county attorney would, as I see it, have it, it would all be pink right there for secretarial and copy. Copy and mail and whatever that room is, that utility room. I look at Veterans Affairs, and you think about just over a year ago, we were one staff member and 117 square feet. And while I appreciate, I love the fact that we've been able to grow that staff and we're really serving our veterans well, the request for space that I see here on option two absolutely blows me away. First of all, the first thing we were told in this entire process is you can't make veterans walk too far from the elevators. Completely reasonable. I mean, you think about the age of our veterans from World War II and Korea and Vietnam. I mean, it's completely reasonable to me that they should have a upfront access. And so everything we did, or everything that I considered, was based on that original premise. And now it feels to me like in option two, well, yeah, we need to be close to up front unless we can get a lot of space, in which case I don't really care where we are, which is something we can talk about down the road. But if being close to the elevator, and I'm moving to option two now, if being close to the elevator is not something that's important to Veterans Affairs, then I really like option two. Put the county attorney completely up front. He's got all his space in one area. Move Veterans Affairs back to that back corner. Except that's way too much space. They need about half that space.
Oh, and I
then we get
that.
more overflow offices, which don't kid yourselves now. Those are absolutely going to be fought after. We got empowerment we've got to consider. We've got DCAT we've got to consider. We've got some other people that are going to need offices in this building. And I felt all along that this overflow space maybe not only was it not too large, it maybe was too small. And so that would be an option. That said, I still believe that Veterans Affairs needs to be up near the front of the building, and so that makes this one a real hurdle for me. Where I am, Wayne, I don't believe that we should do nothing. I think that's the easy way out that I don't believe in. I don't believe we should send this thing back. We're not going to get resolution that's going to please everybody. I believe we've got two options here that are at least workable depending on where we place our priorities. I think we have to recognize that we're not going to share secretarial services or a main entrance to the office. We could share a waiting room. I think sharing a waiting room is completely reasonable. And even if you wanted to look at expanding that waiting room a little, you could even do that.
I'll hit you up. So, that waiting room, keep talking. But so, point, your point on your waiting room currently as it's laid out in option. Okay.
So, I mean, what I'm visualizing is a shared waiting room right there, but two different windows. You'd have one window as you came into the waiting room, if you turned right and looked at what is the north wall of Deb Shildroth's office, there would be a Veterans Affairs window right there. That would be their secretarial, welcoming area. Come right around the corner, which would be an open area, and you can access those two offices. You also have the window for the county attorney and a secure door for getting back into the county attorney's area where you'd have to be buzzed in. That's the option that I most like. It's the closest to, I think, accomplishing the things we need to accomplish. It gives us some overflow space to deal with, like I say, empowerment and DCAT and any others that may need to utilize that area. County attorney, I don't like them being disjointed, but we got a pretty sharp county attorney who I'm sure can find places that make sense to call. In my mind, all the way through, I've been looking at the fine recovery program as almost a separate department within a department, and so I've thought there were some opportunities there. It clearly gives us more space. It doesn't disrupt juvenile court services, and for me, Wayne, that was two issues. One, it's a political hot potato, and unfortunately, we got to deal with that. Second one is there's a major cost issue to moving juvenile court services,
right?
And we don't have that kind of money,
right?
So, Paul, that's where I am in these two. I don't think either one, as they're drawn, are something I would vote for, but they both have promise to work it into something I could support.
You know, I sit and look at this, and I think, wow, my wife won't even let me rearrange the furniture. So I'm I agree with you. That I know initially the discussion was with Veterans Affairs about keeping them toward – they wanted to be in Ames, and they wanted to be close to an elevator. And, you know, I think that's what we've done. And, you know, if they think they need more office space, I know where there's going to be four offices available here within the next 60 days downstairs in this building. So that's something for you guys to consider also. But I know early on you said that you wanted to remain in Ames. I know there's several people sitting here today that probably have an opinion on this, and I don't know. I think if we need to hear from, you know, the people that are interested, they came over here today to speak their piece. And
well, there's no question we should hear from them. But as you say, Rick made the point. Well, at the end of the day, we're going to make a decision.
Oh, absolutely.
And there's no question cost is a factor.
Cost is a huge factor.
It's one of the biggest ones right now. And then the other one is, again, trying to look at the efficiency of services that could be offered in the best layout that we possibly can. But as it's structured right now, there is going to be some separation of one or another office at least. Now, the question I have for Veterans Affairs, and hopefully Brett can comment on that, currently right now the copier is probably used by community service, shared with community service. While I was never envisioning that they would be sharing the copier with the county attorney, I didn't see that as workable. What I saw happening, if anything, was when they had to copy stuff, they would go downstairs and still use the copier provided by community service. I think that, and my reason, rationale for that is that of all the county buildings that I have access to, I don't have access to the county attorney's office. There's a code that he hasn't given me yet. So that he's probably telling me that there are some things in that office that go on that needs to be in a more of a private matter, and I'm satisfied with that. So to put another department in there, going back in there, sharing the copier or other types of things, I think it doesn't make sense. So I would agree that we need to find a way to accommodate Veterans Affairs, if we could, by having them still utilize the copier in human service. But then the other question that is mentioned, receptionists. Right now they don't have a receptionist. They got two people. And there is no money in the budget for them to expand at the present time. So the option of adding for the additional space that is there, while in a perfect world, that's great, but I don't see how we can financially accommodate that as well. So I'm ready to hear from county attorney. I'm ready to hear from DHS. I'm ready to hear from Veterans Affairs. It seems like juvenile court services really doesn't have much to worry about unless we make some big changes, because they seem to be able to keep what they've got.
Yeah, Wayne, if it's okay with you, before we start bringing others up, I'd just ask Sam and Al, any huge red flags to the areas on the two that am I talking about major changes if what I suggest on option one, putting the window in and the secure door and making that separate space with a shared waiting room, Does that raise any red flags on an option two? Is there any big deal if we have Veterans Affairs back in that back corner, but it's about half the space that you currently have drawn?
No, it's to put a window there in that wall and share the waiting area. No, that's not a problem at all. I think that would work just fine. So the waiting area would be the only shared area, and then you maintain the secretary or the copy work area for county attorney, needing a little bit more private scenario as Wayne described earlier. Yeah, I think that's a workable solution. Yeah, I don't see any red flags
with
that.
Yeah, with the secure door on that hallway that's only accessible by the county.
Correct.
County
yeah,
attorney
that's right. Yep. Yeah, I don't see any red flags with that. I think that's a great scenario.
Okay. And then option two, clearly no problem if we were to rework that, just with less, it'd be less space than drawn for Veterans Affairs and more of the overflow float office space.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Wait. So what would be the maximum number of offices in option two for Veterans Affairs? Two plus a somewhat of a waiting room or a conference room per se in that scenario in option two, Sam?
I guess it depends on what you guys arrive at is what you'd like to see. We could pare that back just so there's two offices and a conference area and maybe a small waiting. What you see here is from a list that we received through Al from the VA officer, and so we're trying to accommodate everything on that list, right? And so that's what you see here. But yeah, if there's not enough money, if we need more room for the float offices, by all means, yeah, we could pare that back. Yeah. So am I hearing two offices and then a conference room and waiting? Is that kind
of to me? That's about the maximum
about
we can hope for at this point in time. I just can't see us going anything beyond that, and that may even be stretching it. The idea of the waiting room conference may have to be a combined. I don't know.
Sure, sure.
You see, but I'm just trying to visualize if I had people coming in to see me, and you've got two clients, maybe, and others coming in, you've got two individuals that need some privacy to address their concern, and then there needs to be a waiting room. But when you need a conference area, then part of that waiting room may have to serve as that, unless you can use another part of the building for a conference facility, which we do have.
Beautiful,
yeah, that's right.
Room right on the west side of that building.
Right. So right. We do have that. But it's a scheduling issue.
Well, yeah.
Okay. Are you ready to hear from? I know Brett was getting all fired up. He had his
ready to hear from everybody.
Okay, Veterans Affairs. He brought wore his red today.
Wearing red. I want to clear up the copier issue that you brought up, Wayne. We really don't have one. We don't share the copier with community services. Actually, we have one that was donated by veterans, and so we have that all set up. IT set it up for us. We have that all set up in our office, okay. So we have that all. One thing that we share with community services is that's where we take our mail, okay. And we use their metering machine up there. And, of course, if we need a county vehicle, we usually borrow it from them also.
So is it fair to say then that the copier provides, if it's still housed within the office area or part of the waiting room or wherever, would still be able to provide the necessary paperwork that you need to get out to the veterans.
Right.
Currently have now.
Yeah, the copier that we have is in our temporary office. It's in the basement.
Right.
We have it right there. Actually, it's in Luke's office.
Right.
And so we're all self-contained as far as that goes. So that really, that isn't an issue as far as sharing that.
Right.
I've talked with our commission. Harlan Borton's here with me today. And Chad Cook's another commissioner, and Jennifer Rabine's with me here today. And we looked at these options, and, you know, this isn't an office that we feel that we're building for us, the staff. We feel like we're building this for the veterans who have served us. We're here to serve them. And if we're gonna put them walking real deep into the building, that's going to be an issue. It's 88 steps from that elevator back around the corner where the county attorneys are at now. So our number one desire is to be close to that main elevator. So we like option one as it's laid out there over option two. I see option two. I mean, it just appears to me it's more spaces back there. Yeah, it's probably more spaces than what we need with the current of two full-time employees and three commissioners at this time. So we're okay with the shared lobby. Don't think that would be a problem. I talked to our county attorney about shared secretary. That might be an issue with, as far as that goes. But I kind of like everything that Rick said about the veterans that we're serving. You know, a lot of the veterans do have problems getting into the building. I've had a few that I've actually visited in the parking lot in their vehicle. That's as far as they could get. So for us, we really like option one because of the location.
Thanks, Brett.
Thank you. Okay, who's next? Pat?
Just put the microphone close to your mouth.
I don't have to eat it?
No.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Pat Penning from the Department of Human Services. And I thank Wayne for bringing out my concerns earlier in what he talked about, but I want to reiterate some of those if I could, please. One of the things I just want to mention is it seems to be a real inequity of the space allocation if you look at our floor, the DHS floor, which is on floor one. And the second floor, we have 39 people on that floor right now, and essentially the same space or less that you're proposing to put 25 people on the second floor. So just the amount of space just seems a little bit inequitable. But in compromising and trying to look at what we could do and how this could work for all of us, Rick mentioned that Empowerment and DCAT, they are currently on our floor. So if there was an office space that they could go to, that would give us two more office spaces. So that would be great. Another entity right now that's on our floor is Promise Jobs. Now, they only need an office occasionally. I don't know, they can maybe come there once or twice a week, which is through workforce development. And it is for citizens of this county. So is it possible to have a space for them on the second floor, which then frees up at least three spaces for us, alleviate some of our concerns with the doubling up of the offices that we've had to do. Because we really did, we saw this as a temporary when we first moved them on there. So we just really basically shoved everybody in there, made some extra spaces wherever we could. So that could alleviate some of our office space issue. The other issue, though, that I pointed out was right now we're meeting with families and having interactions with children and their families basically in a hallway where people can walk through. There's a window there, trying to do family team meetings there because we just have no other space available. And I don't know if there's some way on the second floor. We are looking at two state entities, basically. JCS is also state employees. Is there some way that in their space, is there any room that we could have some shared conference room space, make doorways out into the hallway, something that would allow us some access to a space to have family team meetings, a space that we could do some interactions with families and their children? And trying to compromise to the whole situation, because I understand the space is tight.
Right.
Tom, what's in those offices along that south wall in your space?
Pass the microphone to Tom, please, so we can get this recorded. Thank you.
Thank you very much. They didn't include what was down in there. In the lower right-hand corner, that's one of my officers, Candace Tollickson's, in that office space. What they have is hard lines there. In reality, there are no hard lines except for that one office. And the clerical portion of that is larger than what they're showing on that particular design. The lower center is our EDMS work terminal and all of our office equipment, copiers and things like that. In the lower left corner is the table and a refrigerator. That's where we keep our urinalysis, and we also use it. We have several full-time or part-time trackers that come in there and do case notes. We have a school liaison that we share with Ames Schools who comes in there and does some work from time to time. And we're also set up there with places for them to drop off their mail and stuff like that. And then we also use it as a break area as well. So most of the areas in our offices, outside of the offices themselves, serve double and triple duty.
And all the offices along the north wall are occupied?
Yes, every one of them has a person in it.
Okay.
And we're actually short one officer. We lost one in 09 that the Supreme Court's attempting to get back for us. So we had to move somebody to Boone when I laid somebody off. And so we're short one officer in Story County right now.
Is it possible that with your interview and conference area that DHS could take advantage of that if you guys aren't using it?
I haven't run that by the court administrator. Pat had asked me about using some office space, and I ran that by the court administrator, and they thought that was really a conflict based on our needs and the privacy issues, but I haven't talked about the conference area itself, and I can certainly do that, run that by Scott Hand, the district court administrator.
Okay. Next, anyone else? County attorney? I realize that a lot of the changes being proposed is to try to accommodate the needs that you have presented to us, and we certainly want to take a real close, hard look at that and try to see if it's possible to accommodate your request or not.
Well, I guess I'd first...
I think it was on. Yeah, go.
I guess I just first ask, Mr. Clinton, you made some comments earlier about my needs in this matter. For instance, I've never spoken to either one of the architects. Neither one of the architects has come to ask me about my needs.
And that's correct.
Well, isn't it a little hard to make a plan then?
Well, originally, I did not factor that you needed to move. When we first looked at the remodeling, I thought where you currently were and the fact that you've got an office here in Nevada and you've got space over there, and at the most, you've come to the board and talked about maybe increasing the fine collection type situation and maybe victim witness could be. So at the most... And my way of looking at things, as simple as it appeared, the possibility of maybe two spaces was about all I could foreseeably see that you would need to have. But when you came up with the concept of maybe relocating your office and bringing almost the majority of your operation over to Ames, because Ames is the most populous city and a lot of the clients that are served obviously would be there, but at the same time, you still wanted to maintain some office in your current location in the Justice Center, and I never heard you say anything about wanting to open that up and allow other people to be able to utilize it. So I guess I was kind of left with wondering, how can we now give you all of this space over here and still keep all of the space in the Justice Center for you, and then you still have your area in the back. I don't know where all those people are going to be served. Now, the reason that you weren't consulted, again, originally, is because the board, from my perspective, wasn't even aware that this was something that you were looking forward to doing at the time we started this concept. So, no, we did not seek you out. But then once it was a public notice and we started asking people who had a vested interest in that building to come to the table and share their thoughts, that's when you came forward and talked about what your desire would be and how could we help accommodate you changing your location. So that's why you weren't consulted initially. I know I didn't ask Al to consult you initially when we started this process. And so if there's any fault to be had, then I will accept responsibility for that, because this started a little over 2 years ago when Deb first came to us and started talking about the need to relocate. And at that time, there was constant communication with DHS as to if we did this eventually and how we could still accommodate, you know, them moving from the lower basement when Micah left to some space that is currently with Human Service right now. So as I say, the whole scenario shifted when all of a sudden we were confronted with what should be our responsibility. Should our responsibility, number one, be to county offices and county staffs and departments versus state offices, even though by code we have to provide space somewhere for them. So that's probably the reason that you weren't initially consulted in the original diagram or drawing by the architect. I didn't see there was a need to have you consulted.
And Wayne, if I could just jump in. For me, Stephen, it's as simple as it's a square foot issue. As I've seen it for you, it's been a square footage issue. Clearly, you've got people on top of people. Clearly, you are as space limited as anybody we have in the county, and recognize that early on. But as I was going through this process, I was really viewing your area not in terms of where walls are or anything like that, but I was really viewing it in terms of what spaces you had available, knowing that you as an elected official were going to make the decision based on the space available to you of what's right for your area. So I look at these walls that are in here right now, and my feeling is once the board decides on the direction we're headed with that second floor, that's when your input will become vital, because then you'll know what space you have. You'll start to make some decisions about how you're going to put things, and based on that, we're going to know what walls we need where and how it's all going to be put together. So for me, just a little different than where you were, Wayne, until we know what spaces we're headed for, I recognized early on that the county attorney needed more square footage. Didn't recognize, and I don't think until we know whether all that square footage is together or a little bit separate, I don't think we could make a really good decision on what it was all going to look like. That's where I've been all the way through.
And Stephen, your plan is not to move your entire staff from here in Nevada to...
Well, Paul, let me answer your question just in a second. Let me go back to Wayne. I still haven't been really consulted, even to this day, about my needs. Now, Mr. Sanders has made a comment that I think is poignant. Dealing with the issue of space, I understand you are looking at it in terms of space. But I have a different perspective. My perspective is the needs of my office in terms of the people there, but also what they have to do and where they have to do it. Now, I've only been aware of this for, several months when this came? Al, when did you first sort of bring this to us? It wasn't that long ago.
Oh, we've been talking about it. I remember meeting over in Deb's conference room a couple years ago, the start of it all.
Was I there?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, you were there.
Well, in terms of this coming down the road and opening up this area, when I got re-involved in it, it was just not very long ago. And my proposal was to move my whole office over to Haines, to take that second floor. My reason for doing that was, from an organizational point of view, it has been extremely difficult to run two offices. I don't know what other county department has two different locations. And the trouble is that I have to service courts in Ames, and I have to service a court here in Nevada. The addition now is fine recovery, which is now complicating the traffic pattern and the number of people for personnel in my office, which leans toward having offices in Ames. The issue of moving people just simply because there is space available is not my choice. Actually, I'd prefer to have everyone right here in Nevada. But you're telling me because of economic reasons, you can't increase the size of the space that I have at the courthouse. Well, that would be my first choice. My first choice would be to have all of my employees essentially over here. So I could have one office to administer, so it could be, in my opinion, more efficient. It is the courthouse, after all. But the business that I have to deal with in Ames has to do with the hospital. It has to do with the simple misdemeanor docket. And now, with fine recovery, that is another dimension. Now, because this space opened up, you know, I proposed this to you because it seemed to me to be logical, and I, again, have a selfish desire to have one location. I have two locations. I do not want to have three locations. And that's what I sense is the thrust of this discussion. Now, to me, I think this is all driven, as I understand it, because you're interested in being able to budget for whatever is done. Is that not true?
That's always the factor.
Yeah. Well, as far as I'm concerned, I would rather not move from where I am. If that's the prime directive here, if that's the primary moving concern, I would rather just stay where I am now. I'm not clear about your commitment to fine recovery, and that's why I say this. I don't know from our budget meeting how you are viewing our discussions. I understand that to mean, you know, I have two people in there now. You're not budgeting for an additional one. So really, I don't have an additional space need there. I would differ from you. I have tried to encourage you to allow me to hire more personnel in fine recovery because I think it's just a matter of having more hands on that particular function in order to garnish more money. But if we're not going to do that right now, I don't sense that there's a real need. It seems to me that the only real need here, immediate need, is for Veterans Affairs. Now, plan one, if you want to pull that back up, plan one where you're including Veterans Affairs in a common interest way that Mr. Sanders is talking about, in my opinion, I'm going to have to oppose it because of 35B of the code. I can't have a doorway, and I don't think we were probably in compliance previously, and I had a discussion with Brent about this yesterday. I had forgotten about 35B of the code, and it essentially says that you can't mix Veterans Affairs with another county office. So I think it's going to be a problem, a legal problem. In addition, that code section goes on to talk about the confidentiality needs of Veterans Affairs. Chairman Clinton spoke about the confidentiality concerns that I have in my office. And we certainly could not possibly have areas where Brent and Luke could come in and or his invited guests come in to space that was also accessible by my employees and the business invitees of my office. So I think that you're going to have a separate entrance and separate facilities. Now, I don't know that there's a real rush for this additional space that surrounds that's going to be vacated by community services. I would prefer not to be split by juvenile court services. To me, we had discussed whether or not juvenile court services could be moved to another location, and Chair Clinton, when I first proposed moving all of my offices to the second floor, I offered most of the space in the Justice Center to
that is correct.
Juvenile Court Services. Mm-hmm. So I was advocating for keeping a smaller area to prepare for trials. Plus, as a part of that discussion, remember we were discussing the area of the public law library and the fact that the county is no longer going to service that, and then there was some discussion about what to use or how to utilize the county law library space. And, of course, that involved the judges, and that's just a hold up on a whole other day. But so I just wanted to correct the record for that to the extent that I did offer a majority of the space in the Justice Center. Now, going back again, not to beat this up ad nauseum, but when this building was constructed, the original plan was to build a courtroom for the juvenile judge in the basement to house our office and juvenile court services and DHS. It was a very thoughtful and forward-looking plan. Unfortunately, the previous board allowed the juvenile judge to throw a monkey wrench into that and leave and come over and have his office in the courthouse here in Nevada. Now, Cedar Rapids, because of the flood, just built a new facility that houses all of those components. I'm not sure about DHS, but it houses the juvenile judge, the county attorney, and the juvenile court services. That was a very, I think, thoughtful and forward-looking idea. But we don't have that anymore because we don't have the juvenile judge there. So really the necessity of me being in that building, the human services building, as I admitted to you in our previous discussions, I really don't have that need. It may be convenient sometimes to be next to juvenile court services, but overall, in this day and age with the communications being what they are, I don't have to be. So in looking at this plan, I'm just hearing what everyone is saying, and I'm saying I certainly think Brent needs a spot. Now, I talked to Brent about the conference room that's at the west end of the building and converting that into office space, but apparently everyone has designs on that conference area, maybe for other reasons. But to me, that would separate out Veterans Affairs. They could have a couple of nice offices there and also a nice meeting area. It would be right adjacent to the elevator and the stairs. And that hallway area there that is the public hallway area is an underutilized area, and I've spoken to you about that too. When I first proposed moving all my offices over there, I proposed putting some type of airport-like seating out there and taking advantage of it for a lobby, a common lobby area. But as it sits right now, yes, I am very cramped. I'm very cramped in the courthouse. We're stepping on top of each other. I think I have 31 employees with interns. So I could certainly justify, I think, or I don't think I was out of line in making the suggestion, and I made it because you were at a stage of deciding or trying to make a decision, and I threw it out there because I felt as though if I had not thrown it out there, I probably would have been remiss in my duties in terms of suggesting alternatives for you to choose from. But as it sits right at the moment, I think you can take your time. You can make some space in the front for instance, just what Mr. Sanders talked about. I'd leave the other red area just vacant for now. I wouldn't spend the money. I'd see how that goes. If you're going to want to keep that West Conference Room, and you're going to want to leave juvenile court services, and I don't know what political reasons you're talking about, but I'll just take it on face value. If you're going to want to leave juvenile court services there, just leave us at that end of the building for now. I truly cannot emphasize to you enough how difficult it is to manage even two locations. Sure. And as it sits right now, unless, and again, the only reason I asked for more space, my wish list at the time was because I felt as though if I didn't say something to you, you may not have had it on the table to consider. I certainly didn't mean it from the standpoint of it something being that you had to take, but just as something that I thought was worthy of suggestion. You know, we can continue to be crammed. But again, that sort of depends on what you're willing to do in the future I think, immediate future for fine recovery. I don't know that I'm going to be asking for another attorney's position, even though things are getting busy. But fine recovery to me is the area where you could probably, like I told you at the budget meeting, I'd go all in. I'd put a number of people in there, more than I have now, to recover those monies.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that's up to you. So my pitch here is, Chair, that you just leave us where we are. You can find whatever space you want for Veterans Affairs up front, make Brett happy, and just leave us. That way you don't have to spend any money. You can have plenty of time to think about that space. And the reason I want to go back to what Sam was saying, which is he was talking about moving 13 or 10 people from my office over to Ames. Well, I just don't want to. I can't manage my office like that. I just can't move 10 or 13 people who's from my office in Nevada over to Ames. I wanted that if I moved my whole office over there so that I could be there and that my office manager could be there and that I could better handle or better take care of all of the business. And I was going to structure. I felt as though I could structure having a couple of attorneys to handle, two or three attorneys to handle courtroom duties and keep a portion of the space at the courthouse. And again, if that is not on the table, that is to say, if the majority of my office can't be in one location, then I would prefer just make it easy on everybody, just stay right where I am.
You need to be careful what you ask for, Stephen, because you're likely going to get it.
Well, I understand that. But
you've been around here almost as long as I have, and you know when office space comes available, it's going to be gone.
Yeah, there's not any holding up on this. But
just
that's
so
fine.
Just so we're all clear, you don't want the west end of that building that's currently shaded pink right now. Because if you don't want it, I know somebody else that will.
Well, I'm telling you, you can't do what you've got right there.
No, but you can do exactly what I asked them to redraw. But that's fine. You want to stay where you are? You got it. You stay right where you are. We'll figure it out from there. That's fine. That's fine with me.
We've had discussions early on about how the majority of your traffic was generated in the city of Ames. Like every other county agency that we've got, the majority of the traffic is generated in Ames. You've got Ames Police. You've got ISU Police. And that was part of our discussion, why you thought you could move, whether it was your entire staff or some of your staff, over to the second floor.
With the advent of EDMS, the electronic filing, we don't need to be at the courthouse to walk down the hall to file documents.
Absolutely.
And so, to me, it had a lot of appeal. It did. It does. It had a lot of appeal. But you have to understand it, Paul, from my point of view. I don't take this as a rebuke. I'm just simply saying, my first office was a converted closet. I'm trying to express to you my frustrations with having to deal with split locations.
Well, I completely understand that. And you know, if we're not going to use this space on the west end of this building for your office, then you know, DHS is sitting right behind you, and they've apparently got workers sitting on top of one another. I mean, we could have the whole discussion about 30% of their traffic or Boone County residents operating out of a Story County facility, but that's you know, that's spitting in the wind is what that is. So this, I'm just, you know, if you don't think you'd be better served moving what you have on the east end of that building up, give you more space for the offices you currently have, and that would free up that east end of that building.
I thought you were talking about splitting me again, putting fine recovery in the east end and putting part of my office in the west end.
That's the way it looks currently, and you're telling me that you don't want to do that.
No, I don't. I don't want to.
Would you be happier taking everything that's pink on the east end and occupying the space on the west end, and then that'll leave space available for DHS or any floater offices that we need? That's going to give you more space down there.
Well, again, that has to, again, sure, that would be much preferable to me because then I'm not in three locations.
Okay.
And I just can't emphasize that enough. The problem, though, is putting Veterans Affairs in a common doorway. You cannot do that.
Because yes, you can. You can have a common waiting room.
No, you
absolutely you can. You do now. It's one entrance to that building. I mean, that, you know what? Combining administrative responsibilities and combining a waiting room, that's two entirely different things. And I can understand using the law to try to get what you want. But it's simple enough, Stephen. It is, you can stay exactly where you are right now, and let's just move on. I'm fine with that. We gave it a shot. We gave it a shot.
Yeah, we did. And like Wayne said earlier, we're not going to make everybody happy. But if we can make the majority of people a little happier than they are now, and that's why I asked Stephen if he would want the space on the west end of the building, and vacate what he's got on the east end of the building, because we're going to have to move on and do something with this. I mean, there's enough requests for space that we're not just going to leave that area sit vacant.
Okay. Any other comments? Al, Sam, what Rick asked, presented a nice alternative concerning the window possibility, and even though that we don't have a receptionist area as I see it right now, at the entry of the building. So they would still need to come to that window or to that door to be accessed into the Veterans Affairs area. Is that not correct? Without having a receptionist or someone occupying part of the pink area where the current receptionist area is right now?
That's correct, yeah. If we were to proceed down Mr. Sanders' alternative and suggestion, they would come into that waiting area and then at that point would simply kind of self-navigate to the VA office.
And that's currently what you guys are doing now, right?
Let me throw this one out because it is in the city of Ames, and we know at Mary Greeley and also at City Hall. Would this possibly be an area that the volunteer services would be willing to staff a volunteer in that front office area there, which could serve as a communication piece for us? Right now, coming over here was more problematic for them to staff a person here in this administration building. But that may be a possibility for us to explore, because I do think that you almost... I guess for logistics reasons, when you have a building laid out, it is if there's someone right at the very front of that building, when you open the door and go in, that you know can be directed to where the various offices is an efficient way of doing business, and I think solves a lot of the problems. But right now we don't have in the budget any place to hire a receptionist or a administrative secretary or whatever you may call that would serve either the Veterans Affairs and or DHS or anyone else. Now, the other question sometimes would be is if DHS used part of that space up there, would they have the ability to serve a dual purpose by helping to direct traffic to wherever they wanted to go? You know, I mean, those are options that we have to explore.
I remember our conversations here with Brett before he moved downstairs. And when he gained the additional staff, his plan was to work his schedule so that there was always somebody in that office. And unless something absolutely came up where they both had to be gone, then there's going to be somebody in there. And I really don't think that there's a need to have a receptionist for the Veterans Affairs. Because the way it stands now, the rest of that's going to be empty space. So if we make the changes that... Okay. As long as you guys have, like you said earlier, arranged your schedule so there's at least one of you guys in that office at all times to take care of any foot traffic that you might get, then I don't see the need for a receptionist.
Right, and for the most part, that's what we're doing. By law, our office is supposed to be open 40 hours a week, you know, and so we're doing that as best we can. If there's ever a time that we are out of the office, I mean, I'm just speaking the way it is right now. You know, we put some signage up, and then we let community services know so they don't send anybody down if something does happen.
Sure.
Give you an example. I was at an all-day meeting on Friday, and I had an employee that was sick that day. So, I mean, so that stuff, it's possible for that to happen. So we just do the best we can.
Right.
If we have any scheduled appointments, we do notify them and reschedule. So we're really talking about the walk-ins that we would have that day. But we're working that way now. It's just it's two of us. And kind of the setup that we have is we're able to help two veterans at the same time. That cuts down on the lobby time. Our lobby is is the hallway that's down in the basement.
On your busiest day, how many guys did you have in the lobby?
We've had one in each of our offices, and we've had three in the lobby, which at the time, one of them was tired of waiting and walked out. That was my worst.
Oh, that's his prerogative.
That's my worst thing, but
okay.
Again, and kind of the way we work, if you call in and make an appointment, that's your appointment. If
sure.
there's a walk-in at the same time, we just try to work the walk-ins in. So, but you know, and the other thing of it is I've noticed going from one to two, when it was just one, there was more appointments made than there was walk-ins. And now that the veterans know there's two there to see, then it's probably just the mentality that there's more walk-ins now than there is appointments. And so we may have a day where we've got one person scheduled for an appointment. Next thing I know, we got 12 people we see that day. So we're getting more walk-ins now than what we have for an appointments. One thing that the commission had talked about, you know, looking at option one, I'm just saying option one because it's at the end of the building where we probably need to be, is if, and what we talked about, Deb and I talked about this too before when I was in community services, about, you know, moving to the basement and then come back up. But if you look at the two blue peas and then the next one over the pink pea, if you were to draw a line straight up to the S and over, kind of block that area off, that's kind of what we were looking at. And that was probably a couple of years ago. So basically from my old office forward and, you know, straight over where Janice is now and up to the lobby is kind of what we were looking at there as far as our wish list would go. And the veterans, they do like the idea. When we move downstairs, they do like the idea that everybody that's in the lobby or anybody that's down there are either a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran. And they have made comment, you know, to that. But there again, if we have to mix clients in a lobby, we try not to let them sit out there too long. So,
okay.
I'll just.
Thank you.
First of all, I think it was on. First of all, I would like to thank you as a Board of Supervisors for all the support that you've given to our office. We appreciate the new staff. We feel that it has really helped Story County. Our office is now bringing in $13.8 million worth of benefits to the residents of Story County, and we look for that to be up into the $14 to $15 million range this year for citizens of Story County. So you can see by that volume the number of traffic that we get into our office. And Rick, Wayne, I agree with all of you 100%. We need to be close to the elevator. What we talked about was that wall going from the east side of the S down and just making that the Veterans Affairs. But we'd need to have a doorway so that we have two ways to get in and out for fire. And so whether we use that last P there, and have a door there or use that hall or whatever. But if the county attorney's there, we wouldn't have access to go out into his place to go out. We would have to come out of our own spot there. So just to give you an idea that
we're on board with this sticking by the elevator, and we really appreciate all that you've done for us, and good luck.
All right, I'm going to suggest that that we leave the east end of the building as it sits up through juvenile court services. So dealing with the west end of the building, we take Veterans Affairs and do exactly what we had talked about a little bit here, put a window in what is currently Deb Shildroth's office out into that what would be ultimately a shared waiting room, also give basically Brett back his old office as part of that VA area. So you've got those two offices, put in a secure doorway that really runs off the east end of that wall across to what is the phone closet right now, and then take the rest of that south hallway going back and turn that into our overflow offices, the green area, Sam, if that makes sense. Conference room, in my mind, would remain, and it'd just be a shared conference room for whoever in the building needs it. Pat, that may address some of your needs in terms of the family team meeting space. And my suggestion at this point is the open area that's on the north side of the building community life space right now, we just plan on leaving that as it is, undeveloped right now, and we see where we end up. I have no doubt it's going to fill quickly, but we need to make some decisions about where we're going there. This seems to me to be the most cost effective. I mean, in essence, we're putting in a window and a door. Shouldn't be that big a deal. I think we can move Brett in a timely fashion, and I think we just move ahead.
Okay. Now, where the office, where the open space is, the three offices there, what happens to those?
That stays the county attorney. County attorney.
Oh,
now,
up front. No, I'm talking about up front now.
Up front.
Yeah.
You want to be a laser pointer?
Yeah, opposite Veterans Affairs, you know, right? So the county attorney is still.
Yeah. Right, those offices, Wayne?
Yeah. No, no, right there.
That's
yeah.
going to be vacant space for now. It'd just be wide open. We won't do anything with it for the time being. Don't need it right now.
That's wide open now. There is
right,
all, there's
right.
nothing there.
Right.
I think it will fill up fast. I think it'll be interesting to see. It lets us start having some conversations with other people, because I think we can fully and completely accommodate DHS in a reasonable manner. Pat, recognizing that some of the work going on is Boone, and we're going to be hesitant with some of that space, but I think we can get you where you're not on top of each other. Clearly, the county attorney's happy where he is. I think juvenile court service is happy where they are, and so we move ahead.
Is that a motion?
So moved.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded, and I won't try to repeat what has been laid out. Any further comments or discussion?
Option one with modifications.
Option one Very with good, modifications. Al, Sam, anything, any questions, concerns you may have? It seemed to be fairly clear.
Yeah, I guess what I'll do is we just draft up a quick revision, ship it off to Al, and then maybe he can report it to you guys, and just to make sure everyone's on the same page with the spatial arrangement. Does that sound good from our point of view?
Sounds good.
Okay, all in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Now, Al, and I don't know what the future will hold, but our board, based on recent history of not only this building but the Justice Center and now this building, I would recommend that all future designs for building space and so forth, that we contact the county attorney at the outset of that to, you know, have him be on board with the direction that we're basically going. Because I think we can know that past history, even in this building years ago, did not necessarily meet all the needs that were there. And I think if this board would make a commitment to do that, and hopefully we would hope that future boards, regardless of who is sitting here, would recognize that anytime we have shared office space by a department or office, all of those people need to be at the table if we're talking about making changes. And I will think that was something I'd like to see happen in the future. And then I would be remiss if I didn't also say to the county attorney, I certainly appreciate you putting forth an option that you think would meet your needs. I'm certainly not looking down on that. I think you did what you felt like you needed to do. And I think we've tried to look at the best way to accommodate this, but it is a dollar and cents issue right at the present time, as well as the efficiency of operation of all departments. And we certainly do want to look at the future for a fine recovery. However, it's not factored in right now, but I do think that that's, again, there is some potential maybe if with the current vacant offices that are may not be utilized right now under this plan. Thank you. So those of you who came for that portion, you're certainly welcome to leave. You can stay for the rest of the meeting if you'd like. Do you need a couple-minute recess before we begin?
Or
we can go roll right ahead. Okay. Thank you. Okay, then moving on. Item number 3 on the agenda is a consider resolution 1259 authorizing non-recurrent debt for Milford 32 District. At the request of the Assistant County Attorney and the County Attorney's Office, we are going to pull this at this time. I'm not going to suggest that we table it because we're not sure whether it'll be brought back next week or not. So we would just like to defer any action on this resolution to allow for additional investigation and work with the county attorney, the treasurer, the auditor's office, etc. So,
can I second your motion?
Yes.
Second.
It's been moved and second to pull consideration of resolution 1259 for the time being. All in favor of that? It is a resolution. So I'm going to go roll call anyway for the record. Sanders?
Aye.
Who did you second that motion?
I seconded
you
your motion.
You second my motion. All right. Yeah. Let the record show. Okay, aye. Okay. And I say aye as well. Good. Now, consideration of updated Story County 557 plan document. Alyssa. I would assume this is deferred comp.
Correct. It's our 457 plan document. There were some changes due to a couple laws that went into effect, the Pension Protection Act of 2006 and the Worker Retiree and Employer Recovery Act of 2008 changed some stuff that we needed to place in our plan document. We utilized Davis Brown Law Firm. Susan Freed actually made the changes to our plan document, sent them. I forwarded on to Steve Owen. He has looked at this. The next step is the board to adopt the changes in the 457 so that I can send them to the companies. And they then have to adopt our plan document in order to continue our relationship with them.
This is pretty good cookie cutter stuff.
Pretty much.
That we're doing.
One of the major changes that the companies are able to do now is offer a Roth IRA for our employees. We may have employees that cannot take advantage of a Roth outside of here because of their income level. There are no income level restrictions when you do it through a 457B through your employer. So that is an option. That's the major change our employees are going to see. The rest of it dealt with military and a few other things.
I'd move adoption of our amended 457B plan.
Been moved and second the adoption of the 457B plan document. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay. Consideration of claims.
Do we have, where are we doing the addendum?
Number 5, second page.
Second page.
Oh, thank you for calling that to my attention.
Sure.
Alyssa, consideration of agreement between Story County and Alliance Technology for consulting services at $175 an hour, effective upon signature through the completion of work order, including travel expenses at half-time the rate. We have both Alyssa, Human Resource, and Assistant County Attorney Steve Owen. Thank you. Is it working?
Light doesn't work.
The light.
colorblind, so I couldn't tell you.
Now do this again. Is it on?
All right, switch. Yeah. Yeah.
The wheels have fallen off today, haven't they?
Okay. I know that the board had some questions posed to me about the flexibility that this document will provide. And as let me first say what I think my understanding is, and have the board correct me if I'm wrong on this, that essentially we're asking Alliance to come in and help us in the transition to hopefully what we feel is a modified or improved IT department. And this will be one of the steps that we're taking to accomplish that. Am I on track with what I'm looking at here? And I know that we've utilized this sort of mechanism in the past, particularly to get Alyssa on board and get our HR functions up and going. And I think that was has proven that can really result in something good. So what I would say is, as I understand this document as written, this will allow the board on a weekly basis to issue work orders for work that needs to be done in our IT. That's how I read this. That's what I think this document says to me as a whole. Now, you'll see that there's several signature spots there. There's an executive overview, and in particular, I'll point to the unnumbered paragraph that says, each week Alliance's IT consultants and the Board of Supervisors will determine the number of hours to be scheduled for Alliance consultants, yada, yada, quack, quack. So I think that's really the key term of the document as I see it. So if that's the board's question in terms of the legal question for me, I believe that that's satisfied by that term of the agreement.
Just walk me through real quick, Stephen, if you don't mind. So that clause, as I understand it, gives the Board of Supervisors each week the ability to say, we want you to work 20 hours, 10 hours, 0 hours.
Yeah, it does, in fact, refer to the number of hours, and I presume that the work order will also indicate the work to be done. The term itself refers to work hours and gives the board its budgetary control. So from that standpoint, yes.
So it gives us flexibility to determine the work that we want to have done and assign an hour amount to that work that we want to have done.
Right.
But we could take it to zero at any time we want. From a week-to-week basis, we could take it to zero.
Right.
And is that an administrative function of the board, or are we going to have to sit here every Tuesday and make that decision?
Well, that's an interesting question. Really, I think, given that the board may want to consider the idea of assigning a board member to have that sort of discretionary function. In other words, someone to administer the contract, whether that's a board member or perhaps someone else. I'll certainly offer myself if that's something the board would consider. But I say again, I'm not a technology-oriented person. I can help the board administer the contract, and that's probably...
No.
It's on.
Okay.
That's about the limit of what I think I could really offer materially to the mix here.
Okay. And we're empowered by that contract. If the board were to empower somebody...
You know, the real answer would be that they come here every Tuesday and we have the discussion with them.
But we have the authority to empower somebody to make that decision on our behalf.
I think so. That's correct, yeah. Just like any contract with the county. That's correct.
I don't have any questions. I think I got most of my questions answered.
Well, I didn't mean to steal the show from Alyssa either, if she had anything to offer.
From a practical, it doesn't appear to be as simple as it appears. And the reason that I say that is we will clearly give some open-ended oversight to them to be exploring certain things that they will need to report back to us on, but what we're really actually is controlling the hours. Right now, we don't know specifically what tasks we want them to do. That's going to be something that's going to be provided. But I think the key for us is, again, accounting for the work that is being done by some memo which states what duties they actually did, what were the number of hours they actually used to do that, so that we have a documented paper trail for the work that is being provided. Now, I think that could be easily easily done. But I don't know how we would actually structure exactly what it is they're going to do on a week-to-week basis, other than the idea of setting hours.
Honestly, the way as I read that, really what I presume what would happen is they would provide a work order. They would come in, figure out what we need, and plan their period of time week to week and have that plan laid out.
I like that idea.
As I read that, that's what I was assuming that I was reading.
I think
that's...
They're going to
come week to week and piecemeal this thing together. They're going to have a plan.
So that
and the board has the ability to review that and make determinations week to week.
So that first week or two, while they're going through the assessment, you know, we're still at that hourly rate that is basically set up. So we may not necessarily have everything all laid out yet. That's something that we want to make sure budgetarily that we can control.
Well, that's true. I mean, my understanding of the time frame is we plan on having an IT director in April 1st.
Right.
So we're really talking about a month and a half worth of potential bridging of that time. So 6 weeks of a time period. And potentially six decisions by this board in terms of how each week progresses. So I don't see it as daunting or unworkable in really any sense of the word.
And I think the plan is for them to attend their Friday morning staff meetings where they lay out what they've got in front of them for the next week. Alliance will have a representative there, and the board can have a representative there, and they can lay out and say, okay, we're looking at 15 hours next week.
Or they bring it up next Tuesday.
Yeah.
And we handle it Tuesday to Tuesday.
Okay.
Could be the work week. Let me put it this way. It's our money. I think we get to decide.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So.
Right. No, I just want to.
How that's structured. Yeah. I think that's the easiest way to say it. It's our money, and we'll decide how we want to have it spent. There was one inconsistency in the contract that I think I'll bring to their attention about the. There was a 30-day and a 10-day payment period that seemed to be inconsistent. I'll address that with the folks down at Alliance.
Okay.
Well, while my grandma tried to teach me, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say anything, I will say that I am really disappointed that we're in the position where I feel the need that we've got to execute something like this. But that said, I feel strongly that we're in a position where we got to execute something like this. And so I'll move the agreement with Alliance Technologies and ask that the board assign our IT liaison, Paul Toot, to be our representative to Alliance in these conversations and discussion, and for Paul to report back to us on a weekly basis what's happening.
I'll second that.
It's been moved and second to move forward with the agreement with Alliance Technology for the consulting services and authorize or assign Paul Toot, the liaison, to work with the firm and the IT department and then report back to us on a regular basis.
You guys know I'm better if something has moving parts, so I'm not going to make any guarantees here. But.
Yeah. All right. So, any further comments or discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, thank you. And, all right.
Well, did you have anything you wanted to add? Okay.
Okay, then moving back to consideration of claims.
Move approval.
Second.
And moved and second, the approval of claims. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, no agency reports. Now we come to departmental reports. Remove information technology. There will be no report at this time. And so we come to a county attorney, a county engineer, Darren Moon.
Hey, Darren, thanks for waiting through all that, man.
All right, well, Mother Nature continues to treat us well this year. Can't complain about that at all. We've had our salt sand trucks out a number of times, including this morning at 5 a.m., but we've yet to call out our motor graders on the gravel roads outside of our normal working hours. Can't ever remember that happening before, but it's been a good year that way. At this point, I'm anticipating a savings about $50,000 in our salt sand budget. That might go down a little bit, especially with last night. when we get a full ice-covered roads out there, it isn't uncommon to put 200 tons of salt on it one storm, so that could cut out 16 grand right there. So it can go fast, so I'm not promising anything at this point. Also anticipate around $25,000 to $30,000 savings in our overtime pay budget item. We also plan to save some money on equipment operations such as blades, fuel, and equipment repairs. But with the fuel usage savings, it only really puts us back to about even because of the high fuel prices right now. Our maintenance crews have been busy catching up on some brush clearing and bridge repairs. The freezing rain last night reminded me that probably should review quickly our snow and ice policy to make you aware where that is and where it comes from. An ordinance was passed back in 1985. It's kind of a standard. All counties I know have used this standard. But what it does not allow us to do is go out after our normal hours stop at 7 o'clock at night. So we don't go out after 7. And last night was a good example. We did get a call from dispatch saying the roads are icy. And we're like, yeah, we realize that, but our policy does not allow us to go out unless there's an emergency situation. We'll be out there. There's a few reasons for that. One, counties can only afford one shift. DOT has multiple shifts where they can go overnight. So if we're expected to be out there at 5 a.m. in the morning, we really can't have them working out there until midnight and call them right back in. Of course, budget limitations always for budget. And then liability, that's the reason for the policy, so we have a consistent approach to it for liability reasons. But as I mentioned, any type of emergency situation out there, we'll be out there.
Could I ask a comment? Would there ever be a time that we would have such an adverse weather situation? While I know that the DOT and everyone has asked people to remain off the roads, and so it would be mostly emergency personnel, but that we would maybe look at shifting the time of service based upon when these storms came in, by splitting when your staff would actually go out, that's outside of the hours that are there. I mean, it's tough to plan that, but I'm just thinking of potentially could there be a circumstance by which you might want to have a few people out as earlier than 5, say 3 in the morning, depending upon the circumstances, and then they would be off earlier in the day. They would not be able to work overtime hours, etc. Obviously, that's a discretion and a call that you would have to make in cooperation with the sheriffs and the DOT and Highway Patrol, etc. But do you, I mean, when you have a policy, I don't want to ever get us so locked into a policy that common sense shouldn't enter in if we need to deviate under certain conditions, even though that emergency is the thing that changes it right now. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I do, and the difficult part of that is the reason for the policy is to cover ourselves liability-wise.
Right.
And once
right.
you start deviating from that, you're really opening yourself up. We have went out in the past year or two ago, and we had a home basketball game, and there was cars getting stuck on R38 that couldn't even get out of the hill.
Right.
At that point, there's a provision, you know, with the emergency situation, there could be loss of life or something foreseen that we did send trucks out that night.
Okay.
It's very rare.
Right.
But just so I think we can document that it's a real emergency situation, it's just not one of our normal ice storms where people can get around it. And, yeah, that overtime issue won't really work because it's stipulated in our union contract that they're still guaranteed their normal work hours, so we can never send them home early.
Right, right. Okay, great. Thank you. Okay, continue on.
Moving on to once a year, I'd like to update the board on we keep track of our request cards that come into our office, just to give you a feel for what kind of requests we're getting. We had 486 complaint cards or requests, not all complaints, but and we document those in the database. Number one was 120 of those were road tile issues, mostly road crossings. And we have a lot of tile in our ditches that aren't necessarily district tile, but they're ours to maintain. So 120 of those are road tile. Number two is roadway complaints. That's like potholes or rough gravel roads. We have been able to respond to some of those in a way we haven't in the past with our GPS tracking. Some people call in and say, I haven't seen Motor Grader in 2 months. So we're able to look that up and say, no, it was here 2 weeks ago and 2 weeks previous to that. So we're able to address those concerns a little better now. Number three, drainage district repairs. We had 49 complaints on that. Number four is ditch cleaning. And while those were addressed or added to our list, that's an area where we don't get them addressed right away. We have a long list of ditch cleaning items, so I can't say that these have all been addressed for the ditch cleaning item. But they are on our to-do list. And number five, signs. We had 29 complaints on sign repairs. And number six is trash. And then from then on down, dust control, weeds, brush cutting, seeding, mowing, driveway inspection, storm damage that goes on from there. Just give you a feel for what kind of calls we get. My engineering staff continues to work on the design of, we have four larger culverts replacements. We plan to have a local letting on those sometime in May. Plans for Shipley Road resurfacing and some culvert-related culvert repairs on that road are completed, and the project will be let through the DOT in April. Plans are also complete for the resurfacing of Fernald Road and McFarland Park, but I'm still having still waiting for some answers from Bob Johnston on our bonding. He wants to get the wording right for the hearing, and he said he needs to work with the county attorney and the auditor's office to get that just right, so I'm still waiting on that, but we're getting kind of down to the crunch time. We need that soon so we can get the project still let and constructed in this fiscal year. So at worst, we'll split up the Fernald to make sure we still get the Fernald done before July 1st. And then the 590th Vetter paving design, that's underway. We're making good progress on that. What I really want to discuss today is our five-year program discussion. We need to set a time and a method of how we're going to do this. We've done it a couple ways in the past. We used to do it out of our office, but it was still open to the public. There really wasn't ever much of any public participation out there, so we decided to change that in recent years to a board meeting, thinking we might get a little more participation here. So either way is fine with me. But we need to set a date. My deadline for that is April 15th, but in order to meet that, the latest we could have it would be an April 10th board meeting. I'd probably prefer a week before that, maybe March 27th is a board meeting. But whether you want to have it at the board or out of our office?
Well, right now I would like to go ahead and bring it back here again. We're getting a lot of people who are neat. At least they can hear the audio if they're not here, and if they have questions, they can come back.
That's true.
And I just think that the more that we try to be as open to the public and accessible and give them more than just one opportunity to recognize that we have discussed it, I think is what I would prefer. So I don't know how you all look at that.
March 27th works for me.
Right.
We could plan for the 27th discussion, right, and then the April 3rd or 10th could be the I'd bring it through for actual
right
signature and approval. So we'd have 2 weeks then for public comments. Okay.
Not suggesting, Darren, what will or will not make the plan, but please make sure that that Grant/530th is part of the conversation. And I know that road poses some unique problems, and we may have to look at alternate methods and conversations and everything, but we do need it to be part of the conversation.
We'll expect that, and Grant is one, and Rose Prairie's kind of fallen off the map over there in Ames, so I don't know what Ames has planned for the southern portion, because that'll be a factor too now when that gets paved. Another project we'll discuss is possible paving 600th or 590th. Highway 30 had that quarter meeting about a month ago. Not a lot of public comments on the county portion there. We did have Nancy Miller was there. She'd like 600 paved. And then another individual lives on the corner, 30 and 600. Their main comment was revolves around the S-14 Nevada interchange. And I would fully agree. We need to see where that's going to go. Right now it has an overpass over Airport Road and 30 with no connections on to 30 there. So if that happens, it will push traffic probably to 600. And the consultant for the city of Nevada was there, and he he agreed that might have to be looked at because there's a lot of development going on there. They may not want to shut that area off. So they're looking at possibly changing the intersection interchange design. If that happens, it's going to affect what we do. So that's one area we need to see before we can probably make a decision on where our traffic's going to go. But other than that, not a lot of other comments. There's a lot of comments on the interchange or the Highway 30 and interstate bridge design the DOT has. That was in the same public meeting. Moving on to the fuel tax discussions at the legislature. I'm not going to predict where that's going to end up. How it stands right now is what they want is a bipartisan bill. So that's kind of a holdup. They probably have enough votes to get it done, especially on the Democratic side, but they want it to be bipartisan. So they're saying how many Republican votes they're going to need to get this done. So we're looking at probably 4 or 5 additional votes we need on that side to get it done. They're obviously working hard to get that done, but we'd really like to see that this year. There seems to be consensus that if it doesn't get done this year, next year isn't a good possibility. So, and there's two bills kind of out there right now. The House side has a 4 cent, 4 cent, and 1 cent on registration fees, and the Senate bill is just 5 cent, 5 cent, which are both fuel taxes. And I would probably prefer straight fuel tax because I think that's most equitable and brings out of state money in too. Employee updates. Chris Erickson is back, and after being in that car accident, he was off for a couple months there. And while he was gone, we actually did get him promoted up to motor grader operator due to retirement, kind of in the Colo up to Ziering district. So we will have him as a new motor grader operator there. He has been sent to training this past year over at C-Tree, and we plan to train him in-house additionally to bring him up to speed. And that left an open equipment operator one position, and we did recently fill that with Sam Huey is his name, and he'll be coming on board March 5th. We thought we were in a hurry to get that position filled due to the winter conditions. That's where we're always short, but this winter's been kind, so we weren't in such a hurry this time. Lastly, I plan to take vacation March 5th to the 14th. My annual vacation to Florida is the best time of year for me to get away. And I will miss the March board report and also CERPA. This is the second week of March. So if you can't make that CERPA meeting, let me know, Wayne, so we can
What day is the March one?
I believe it's March 8th.
Yes, I will be out of I will be in Washington, D.C.
Okay.
And well, you're probably also going to miss the March blizzard of 2012.
Yes.
Just point that out.
That's shame.
No, she's right.
And the public hearing, that you'll be gone the night of the public hearing.
Yes, okay. Public hearing also. Okay.
Will Tyler be able to be here for that?
I will.
Okay, we'll be good. I don't think we'll meet him, but it's probably good to have him.
Sounds good. That's all I had.
Okay.
Thanks, Darren.
Thank you. All right. Then moving on to liaison assignments. Paul, anything? Rick?
Went and visited with our friends in Ziering last night at the city council meeting, and they send their warmest regards to all of us and the sheriff. And shared with them the conversation about economic development. They're going to get us their thoughts, ask them what they needed. Talked a lot about the Dakins Lake project and how we're moving there. I know they're working hard to get their sewer and water lines ready to go, and nice to be out in the community on such a pleasant evening.
Thank you. Last evening I attended the Conservation Board. As you know, this was the first meeting where I was no longer a voting member but serving in an ex officio capacity. We did seat the two new board members to the Conservation Board last evening, and they took the oath of office, and just had a wonderful and excellent meeting. There's two things I want to call to your attention. There was a resolution to support the acquire the Hertz Family Farm Woods and Natural Preserve that was passed by the board.
This will later come to the Board of Supervisors when the documents have been reviewed by the county attorney for our approval, and we've set up a date later in the year in which we hope to, when their family members are going to be here, that we could have a kind of a special opportunity to thank them for making this land available to the conservation. And then we, the board last evening approved the recommendation to award an engineering and architectural service for the Dakins Lake project, and Shive Hattery was the firm that was selected. This was there were four groups that presented outstanding work. It was they thought a very difficult decision. It really came down to Shive Hattery and Fox Engineering, who had done a lot of the preliminary work and so forth, but they said that the committee that reviewed this unanimously selected Shive Hattery. They graded out as a top firm, and so they will be moving forward with that, and there will be some additional documentations that the board will have to sign that will come to us a little bit later when they have the contract and everything completed. Other than that, they spent a lot of time reviewing and revisions to the bylaws, the rules, the departmental policy, safety and health management policy, and so forth. So all in all, it was a great night. Joe Craker gave another presentation, more of an updated view of the roadside management program. I think that the new board members appreciated a great deal. So with that, that's all on the liaison's report. Okay, then moving on down to item consideration of personnel action. After number 9, we have all those items listed under personnel.
Approval. Second.
It's been moved and seconded, the approval of the personnel. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Personnel action is approved. Board, on the consent agenda, please remove items 6 and 7. All other items are good to go.
Approval with noted changes.
Second.
Then moved and seconded the approval of the consent agenda with noted changes. Toot?
Aye.
Sanders?
Aye.
Clinton? Aye. Consent agenda is adopted. Public comments? Any comments from the public on items not on the agenda? Seeing no one, announcements from the supervisors.
I just had a thought that from now on, I think if we go past noon, the chairman buys lunch. So keep that in mind, Wayne.
Okay, that sounds good.
Second.
I'm willing to do that. before announcements from the supervisors, anything?
Well, yeah, I think I've got about a three-minute announcement.
I think I've got at least a three.
Pass.
I would say tomorrow is the meeting here with the township trustees. Hopefully board members will be able to be sit in on that. That's always an excellent opportunity for us to hear from them and to share with them what goes on in their area. As well, tomorrow afternoon, I will be part of a committee meeting with DHS director to talk again about some of the proposed changes, redesign, et cetera, and we'll be meeting at the ISAC office in the afternoon. So those are the main things at this time. So with that, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
Been moved and second. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Meeting is adjourned. Before noon. You bet.
What time is that?